May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When you get older, you make practical decisions. I think particularly when you get to 60, you do things because it's not as far away. You do things because it's simpler. You don't have to reach so far to get it. You don't have to bend down to pick it up. You stand in the pulpit and set it on the floor because the air conditioner blows right on the pulpit. So in case you're wondering why I'm in the pulpit, because I'm older, and this is smarter. I think this is true for leaders. I think it's true for men, not just men, but God has inherently called men to lead, to be in a place of leadership. The fall's kind of messed a lot of that up. But for me, I've been honest over the years about the things that I've had to trust the Lord with the most, and one of those is fear. And when you have a leadership calling and the battle that you have fought that God has been so gracious in is like fear, sometimes control can be a big problem, because if you can control things, you don't have to be as afraid. The thing I can't stand is not knowing stuff. And I think, and somehow I think if I can know everything, it's safer. But the reality is that Jesus told his first disciples, when they were wanting to know where he was going, he just said, come and see. That's maddening to me, but it's really profound to me that I just have to trust him, though I don't know everything that's going on, and I can't fix everything, because that's my tendency, is to fix everything because I want everybody to be happy too. That's not a good attitude to have when you're dealing with God, because God himself is incomprehensible. We talked about this the other day, and I've been kind of delving into the Trinity again, looking at the Trinity, and the Trinity absolutely makes no sense at all. I get really tickled at Christians who have a hard time with Eucharist because it doesn't make any sense. Kind of like, I'm going, but do you understand three persons of one being and one substance? Can you explain that one to me? And it makes no sense at all. It's new math. It's ridiculous. But the truth is, what the church has said for 2,000 years, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you're a heretic. And you're not a Christian. That's so clear from the earliest church. And this, we live in a generation where a lot of people who know the Lord have never been taught any of this, because it's too hard, it's too much trouble, it's too hard to figure out. And there's just something about the Godhead himself that's incomprehensible, which lets you know that God lives in an atmosphere that he totally understands, but we don't always understand. We don't even understand him. And to try to wrap your head around, if you've ever written some of the documents about the Trinity, they just go on and on and on because they're trying to explain something they can never really conclude. But it's true that he's of one being. There's only one God, but he exists in three persons. Now, if somebody wants to stand up and give an oratorical explanation of all that, you're welcome to take over. But I don't know anybody who understands it. Again, God lives in an atmosphere that on our fallen side that's incomprehensible. So it shouldn't surprise us that God deals with mysteries a lot better than we do. Right? The word mystery, simply the Greek word, just means to shut the mouth. Not going to tell you. You're not going to get to understand it all. Not going to give you all the info. And I've been reading a lot in the last few days, and this is a sermon for me, but I hope it hit home to you. But this is really a message for me. God really used this in my life. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, talks a lot about the mystery of Christ and the mystery of the gospel. Now again, the Holy Spirit chose that word, and that word means hidden. Just, there's no explanation. And he's talking about the mystery of the gospel, that Jesus came and he died for both the Jew and the Gentile, and that the gospel is lived out by Jesus actually coming to live inside of us. Those are mysteries that were just hidden. And then they were just revealed when Christ came and on the cross. But even the cross, it says to the Gentiles, is foolishness. To the Jews, it's an offense, a stumbling block. But three times in Ephesians, it talks about, verse 3, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. And so God works in mysteries. I can't stand mysteries. I want to know what's coming. I want to know what's happening, because you know why? I feel like I'm more in control. And therefore, it's easy to trust. But that's sort of a cheap faith. But here's the thing I want you to hear, because maybe there's some things going on in your life that's a mystery. You just don't understand it all. You don't see it all. You don't understand it all. You don't necessarily know what's coming or what's going and what's going on behind the scenes. But here's the thing it says in the scripture that's so amazing in this passage. It says again in verse 8, "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, the mystery of the gospel, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly places. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." That word administration is very important. There's mystery, but there's someone behind the scenes. And what can be confusing is we live in a world full of fallen people, so there are people making free will choices that don't make sense. But God says he declares the end from the beginning. Now, how can those both be true? Which one is it? Yep, exactly. It sure is. They're both true. And we can't comprehend that. But remember, Scripture says that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, because his ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. Somebody who can be one God, but he exists in three persons, understand he lives in a realm of mystery. If we can't even understand that, then we have to realize that there are just things that go on that God comprehends, that he just works on a different plane. I mean, for us, it's always black and white. Either this or it's that. And God works with the this and the that all at the same time. Both realities. That man has free will, but God's absolutely sovereign and declares what must take place. I can't understand that. But I get comfortable with the fact that I don't have to understand that, because I can't even understand him in his essence and who he is as a person. Three persons, but one God. It reminds me that I'm not supposed to always understand. That it's not my comprehension God's after. It's my confidence in him that he's after. And the word administrate means just that, have an administrator. I know in my own life how desperately needed administrators are. I liked administration. I can't do administration. Because see, if you have a bunch of stuff going on in your life, if you've ever seen my desk in the past, if there's nobody administrating my desk, it's just a mess and a chaos. But somebody who knows how to administrate that chaos could come along and make my bank accounts work, my desk work, all the stuff going on. And I do better by not even asking about it, just as long as it's going well. You see, when there's mysteries in our life, it's good to know that there's someone, and he's God, who understands mystery, who doesn't think like we think, who's so higher, his thoughts are so much greater that we can't comprehend. That he's administrating all those mysteries. He's stewarding them. He's managing them all. As it says in chapter 1, and he does that, working all things after the counsel of his will that's dominated by his kind intentions. So he says here, the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light his management and administration, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known. There'll come a time when it'll come to light how perfectly he managed everything, even in a fallen world where people make free choices. It's going to manifest itself eventually that no matter how ridiculously silly and ignorant people are, his manifold wisdom prevails. And it all involves, verse 11, in accordance with his eternal purposes, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It helps me to know that in the mysteries of my life that I try so hard to figure out and beg for God to explain it all to me so that I'll feel safe, that my safety isn't in understanding. My faith is simply remembering there's someone behind the scenes who's managing the chaos. And when it's all said and done, his manifold wisdom is going to be revealed. The riches of Christ will be released. it'll all be to the praise of the glory of his grace, who works all things after the counsel of his will, and God's eternal purposes will be accomplished in my life because of his management skills. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.